Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars. Fly a fantasy.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. The Golden State Warriors, quite the confusing turnabout here with their remembrances of one Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson has left Golden State and will go to the Dallas Mavericks and join up with Luka and Kyrie Irving this next year. And I thought it was classy the way that the team sent out their press release, where it said, you know, we can't wait for the day that we can retire number 11 in the rafters and honor Klay Thompson. And rightfully so. I mean, you think of everything that he meant to that organization. 11 and 30 are always going to be arm in arm with the Golden State Warriors.
Yes. Steph's IG message looked like Morse code with how many little dots. Yeah. It had at the top of IG. It was like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, and Stefan.
30 different pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's 30.
Think of those two guys, though.
Sure.
I mean, and then Draymond Green, you got 23 as well.
And it was like an actual relationship breakup.
It was. It was hard. You know, Taylor Swift's going to write an album about it, I heard.
God, if only this had been an NFL thing where they ended up on the Chiefs.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a deal.
That probably would have happened.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, Dallas Mavericks fan.
But then we have the leaks start coming out. Almost immediately following the Warriors, we can't wait to retire 11 and put it in the rafters. You had the report of Klay going to Steph and telling him, don't throw your weight around in the organization. I want to kind of do this on my own, right? Which... that seems like a very Klay thing to do. But then you have the Jason Dumas report on our sister station, 95.7 The Game, down in San Francisco, where it goes to, and you called this yesterday, Klay has been equally as exhausting behind the scenes. It's not as loud. It's not as loud because it's not you stomping on someone's chest. If he's slamming stuff on the bench and sulking and doing it on the court, how do you think he is at practice? How do you think he is in the locker room? It's been uncomfortable. It has. It just doesn't come out as loudly as Draymond Green does. the leaks are now that Klay was as disruptive as Draymond Green, who knocked out a teammate,
mm-hmm.
who got suspended twice this year, who is a habitual nut kicker and got suspended for an NBA Finals game for it. And they're saying that what Klay Thompson was doing, his sulking, was just as distracting and uncomfortable as Draymond Green.
Yeah, and they're going to badmouth him on the way out.
That's so confusing.
That's Warriors basketball 101. They're light years ahead of being complete a-holes. That's what they're great at, and it stems from their ownership, which we saw in the Gary Payton II fiasco.
Yeah.
It was absolutely pushed in by ownership. Joe Lacob is a petty billionaire.
Yeah.
That's short-sighted, stupid, malignant things that get thrown out. GMs know how to keep that stuff quiet. Agents know how to keep that stuff quiet. Players know how to keep that stuff quiet. People that don't are billionaires with more money than God that don't care. That's where you get this stuff.
And that, to me, is, I mean, that's on brand, and you kind of hear these things come out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, it is one of those, on how much they always propped up Klay and Steph, the relationship, the meaning to the franchise and to the Warriors and all that they've meant to that organization. And then on the way out, you just have those leaks start to come up and they pile up. And this isn't going to be the last that we see of the Klay Thompson, I don't know, bashing as it is. But I think that is very lowbrow when organizations do that.
The Seahawks are one of the best at doing it. Anytime you left on any kind of negative terms, they would have it. And that has been a Vulcan special with the Blazers as well. If you left on negative terms, even Brandon Roy got the hatchet job.
Absolutely,
like,
they did.
I'm not saying this is like unique to the Warriors.
It's not one bit.
No.
I mean, and this happens with every organization because – look, this is part of like the PR spin of things, mm-hmm. right? Because there is a large swath of their fan base that is upset at the fact that Klay Thompson will no longer be a Golden State Warrior.
He should be been there for his career kind of situation.
Warrior for life. And mm-hmm. how do you get fans over that is you start to throw these other things out where you kind of sully the reputation of that player on the way out. And I think it's lowbrow, but we see it all the time. And we see it from every single organization. And I just don't understand why you can't speak the truth and the reality of it, which is if Golden State were to come out and they were to say, Klay Thompson, like basically have the exact press release that they put out, what he meant to the organization. We can't wait to put 11 in the rafters. And then just have, it was time for a change and for us to part ways. He was asking for something we didn't have the ability to give anymore based on the production that we saw the last, not just year, the last handful of years,
yeah,
like 3 years. It's been a progression downhill.
The way this was viewed was that from the Warrior side of things, is that they already gave him the Kobe deal coming off of the torn knee. They gave him the money then. Richard Jefferson said on ESPN yesterday that, you know, I hadn't revealed this out of respect for Klay, but Christmas Day, I run into Klay in the elevator. Because remember, RJ played with Klay when he was a youngin', his rookie year, second year with the Warriors. And he said, hey, you know, how you doing? Get your mentals right. And he said, I'll get my mentals right. Tell him to give me my money. That's what Klay told Richard, which I will tell you right now, most guys in the NBA, that's how they feel. The respect comes with the money. And that's when if you hear, you know, a media person say that's what the money's for, when you talk about like what you have to sacrifice and having to play through some injuries or being a little banged up or not, you know, being up. It's like, buddy, that's what the money's for. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. And Klay got the money already. The way it's been explained to me was basically the past year and a half, 2 years, Klay was dealing with the same thing that every Hall of Famer deals with: mortality.
Yep.
The only one in the past 25 years who has been able to figure it out gracefully is Vince Carter. That's the list. If you want to put Dirk Nowitzki on there, that's fine too. But I think Dirk just kind of like he got his title and he was already old.
I mean, I'll put LeBron in there too.
He's still great though.
Yeah, he is great, but he has changed his stylistically how he plays.
Not going to the rim as often.
He doesn't have that explosiveness. Yeah. He's still great.
Yes.
Like he's still great.
But I mean, like fundamentally changed who they were. Like Vince went from being
above the rim,
the 1A athlete in the NBA. To a guy who sat in the corner at 42 years old. Like, that's a big swath to cut through. And he had multiple iterations throughout his career. He is the only one that accepted it remotely gracefully.
Yep.
And even then, if you remember right, when he left Toronto, it wasn't under great circumstances.
No.
And that was a younger point in his career. But when that mortality hits, it's nasty on that level. And Clay, we saw the public stuff about him, like, being willing to move to the bench and how much it hurt him. And he was crying. That was a year after he had originally been asked to be moved to the bench behind the scenes.
Yep.
Where he threw a fit and they were like, all right, fine, screw it. We'll put Jordan Poole back on the bench and call it good. And
which in retrospect
that caused a bigger rift within the team.
Well, in retrospect though, like we're not going to act like Jordan Poole is a guy that, you know,
well, here's the thing.
He's a great teammate and a guy who makes his teammates better, are we?
But here's a spark point.
Okay.
Did that issue cause a developmental problem with Jordan Poole?
Oh, absolutely. But
again, if all of a sudden Clay goes to the bench and Poole's that guy, does he turn into an a-hole? Maybe not.
Probably. I think we saw in Washington.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if all of a sudden, if you're like doing.
I agree.
Because remember, the Warriors were doing well before Clay came back. They were like 26-9 or something like that before Clay came back. And now Poole gets pushed back to the bench. And if you're Jordan Poole, you just found out that it doesn't matter what you do. You won't ever be able to pass that guy up.
Right.
And now there's that fracture within the team. And that's basically what I was told was that's been boiling under the surface for 2 years. And what I was told from a source was that the Warriors offered Clay a deal. And the way the Warriors typically offer deals is under market value. And then they haggle back and forth. And they did this with Draymond. And they did this with Iggy, Andre Iguodala. And, you know, they got irritable about it, but that was business. The Warriors offered Clay an under market deal, and that was it. He felt disrespected, slighted, and it's been done basically for a year because that's how he felt about it.
And we'll have more on this to start hour number three, but that is also how another franchise handled Klay Thompson and ended up with Klay signing in Dallas. But I thought it was a weird and confusing goodbye to Klay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors. It's not a surprising one, but as one texter on the Vancouver Ford text line points out, like this is like out of the Dan Snyder playbook, right? With the Commanders before, it wasn't even, you could leave on the best terms possible and he would slam you on the way out.
On the way out.
Even though nobody, I don't think, ever left there on the best terms possible. But, you know, he would just rip you apart on the way out with hit piece after hit piece. So,
and he even did that to a guy who got, you know, who died.
Yeah.
Sean
yeah.
Taylor.
Yeah. All right. Basketball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you could get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. A firing in college football. Very weird to happen at this time of year. Next on the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Utah State announced today the firing of head football coach Blake Anderson. Anderson leaving Utah State after his first year, he went 11-3. They were a top 25 program, and then the last couple of years, they were hovering right around 500. He leaves at 23-17 in his three seasons with three bowl games. Okay. Right?
Okay.
Not too bad. But this story is absolutely bonkers because Blake Anderson is a coach that he caught the attention of the college football world, and it transcended the college football world and went into, you know, the mainstream media, in that his wife's battle with cancer. I remember the game where they went down to Georgia and the student section wore pink at Georgia as Arkansas State was playing there. And it was to honor Blake Anderson's wife, who'd recently passed of breast cancer. And it was a story that kind of captivated everybody because he talked at length about how football kind of in the family that they'd created helped him with the toughest tragedy that he'd ever faced. He moved on. He went to Utah State. He lost a son to suicide a few years ago. And this guy has just kind of been up against it time and time again. Well, on Saturday, he and his second wife, Brittany, welcomed their first child. And there was a post from Blake Anderson's Twitter account saying how, you know, mom and baby are doing healthy. Can't wait to introduce their new son, Cannon, to Aggie Nation and all that stuff. Things that a college football coach would do.
Sure, yeah.
And here we are on Tuesday, he gets fired.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, which is totally normal this time of year.
Yeah, right? But it wasn't just Blake Anderson that got fired. The associate vice president, deputy athletic director of external affairs, Jerry Bovey.
That's a hell of a title.
That is. Right? I mean, colleges are great at this.
Right?
They will give
you anything. Let me create a little line here for you to work with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jerry Bovey also fired, as was the director of player development and community, Austin Albrecht, also fired as well. And in the press release from Utah State, they mention that due to their Title IX investigation that opened up as a result of a incident or incidents in the spring of 2023, this is why Blake Anderson and the other two individuals have been fired. And the reports that come out is that it's surrounding a accusations of sexual assault, and the accusations being investigated internally as opposed to handing it over to their Title IX department and handing it over to the athletic department as well.
Ooh, so this sounds like a whole bottle of awful from top to bottom, and the only way to do it is to go full excise, like, you know, just cutting the tumor out.
Yeah, I mean, they just, boom.
Just went in, boom, just scooped boom. It all out and said, see ya.
You think about that. Your deputy AD,
mm-hmm.
One of your directors of football operations,
which,
and your head coach, all fired and
one fell swoop.
Guess what? We are about a month, less than a month away from teams reporting
being in the thick
and starting your fall camp.
No.
And now they're handing it over to their defensive coordinator and defensive line coach.
Yeah, trying to find a coach in that period, like you're basically just going like, is there an analyst out there that wants to be head coach?
Well, you know what the other main issue here is for as it pertains to Utah State, like the nastiness of what happened there, and we all know what is going to happen. We will have all of the reports coming out right like immediately, because all the newsbreakers in college football are now surrounding this story, and they're going to get into depth of what actually happened and what led to them finally saying, all right, we're going to fire our coach. But this also opens up the 30-day period for players to enter a transfer portal when you have a head coaching change. You very easily could see a handful of players, and now with it being this close to the start of fall camp,
who can take them in?
But your best players,
they might.
May take a look around the room and say, I'll test that portal really quick, because there are teams that are sitting there going, all right, we'll take you. We have a hole to fill, and you're known.
Mm-hmm.
Hop on. Let's hop on board, because we have a place for you here. It's going to be a long uphill climb for you, but if you are a sophomore or a junior who's sitting there and you had a good year last year, yeah, you're going to test the portal and see what you can do, because you can always, and at this point, Utah State's in a position where they can go, all right, anybody that enters the portal will take you back, because we need to have you back if you don't
That's
find
true,
that safe landing
because
spot.
You won't, the time period is just too short to try to make up any distance.
Yeah. I mean, this is a whole bunch of ugly heading in for Utah State, as we're just getting ready for the college football season to get underway. And when you think of it, look, I mean, Blake Anderson is a really good coach. He's had two back-to-back years that have been hovering around 500, but his track record at Arkansas State and that first year at Utah State where he went 11-3, guy's a pretty damn good coach. He's a pretty damn good coach, but there's also like this cloud just surrounding the Utah State athletic department, right? I mean, think of that women's basketball coach, right? Where she went to the podium and was like, they asked her about next year's team. And she's like, I've been fired.
Yeah.
I've been fired. I'm here doing this interview after our conference tournament, but I got fired about an hour ago.
So what do you want to know?
Yeah. I don't know what next year's roster is going to look like.
Not my problem.
not going to work here anymore.
Yeah.
For Utah State, though, they're not on Oregon State's schedule this year, because they are a Mountain West program. Yeah. They are Mountain West.
So that program is one of the teams they don't play.
That is one of the ones that they don't play. The Cougs may have them though. I don't know.
I am not intimately familiar with Utah State's schedule.
I'm not either. I just wanted to see how it pertains to the Beavs and the Cougs. And I don't think either of them play them.
Can I just say, Utah State, simple but effective helmet design.
Yeah, they're good.
I like them.
Cougs play them November 9th.
There you go. So maybe Cougs chalk that one up as a win.
All right, Cougs. Things are looking up right now.
Well, maybe USC can chalk that one up as a win, too. They play them week two.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wow.
And Utah's got them in week three.
Well, hold on. We weren't chalking that USC game up.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyways.
I don't know.
Dang. Times aren't that tough.
No, it's not that bad.
They went 6-6 last year.
Yeah, with one of the most dynamic playmakers.
Oh, no. I was talking about Utah State.
Oh, I was talking about. Yeah, okay. I was like, wait a second here.
No.
They weren't that bad. Not that bad.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Utah State. Things not great. That's a great chant right there.
No.
It's not great. Utah State.
What's going to happen, though, and what comes out of this is going to be even uglier when you think of where a story where Utah State 30 days before you have less than 30 days before camp starts and you are firing your coach. There must have been some pretty damning evidence, and it must have been really ugly. And what is already floating out there about the dismissal of those three individuals, it's not pretty. And, you know, you got to applaud Utah State for acting swiftly.
Yeah, this wasn't
it's not Baylor.
No, I mean, it's not Baylor. It's not Penn State. It's not Michigan State. You know, it's going down the list of things where, look, I do like in a world where innocent until proven guilty is a real thing.
Yep.
But when the facts are overwhelming in a particular case, which it sounds like they are, yeah, go ahead and deal with the lawsuit later.
And there will be lawyers.
There will be lawyers.
There will always be lawyers. There's a lot of lawyers.
All right. Coming up next, today's worst day on the web. Robots taking over the world? Maybe. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Seems like every week we're getting a step closer to Terminator being a real thing. It's getting terrifying.
Oh, cool. Cool.
By way of NPR, an article from the technology section, the headline reads, "A robot gets a face of living skin that allows it to smile."
Okay, I've seen this. My skin doesn't look like that. This looks like...
If I say what it looks like, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, so don't. this is a... This is nightmare fuel. This is worse than me watching Silence of the Lambs when I was 8 years old. I don't know why they're like, look, this is human skin on a robot, and it's smiling. That does not look like... It looks... what was that stuff? Remember GAC?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
like between
that?
GAC and Silly Putty?
Yeah, it's like purple slime that they put like googly eyes on, and then they're like, "Look, it's smiling, and it has like this robotic mechanism that is forcing us not even a smile because it's." No hole. It's nightmare fuel is what it is.
It is, and it's the beginning of throwing the skin on the Terminator.
It looks like Kirby. It looks like Kirby. Yeah. It's like if Kirby, the little cartoon, was going to be smiling at you. But
it does.
Gooey and shiny, and we don't need this in our life. Science, don't. Don't.
Yeah,
I don't want this.
Again, I brought this up the last time we talked about robots. We often don't stop to think about whether or not we should. It's whether or not we could.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need to know. Can we put skin on this? Like,
based on, you know, science.
Yeah, that.
Based on, you know, science. I don't need that.
No, it's terrifying.
It's computers.
Now, is this what they're going to try to do with AI Al Michaels on the Olympic coverage?
God, just nightmare fuel.
On a robot?
You know what? We're coming full circle. Remember the animatronic things that we had, the Chuck E. Cheese band?
See, but look, if you go to Disneyland and you go through like Pirates of the Caribbean, or you go to the Hall of Presidents or whatever.
What if it's a small world singing this, but it's like terrifyingly smiling at you?
Those look far more real than whatever they did there, because we don't need human skin. I've read an article today that I don't know. I'm forgetting on who the book was by. But Harvard had a book in their library that they've removed. That had a binding of human skin, and they removed the human skin from it. It's like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's it. It's not just that, like, this, like, it looks like GAC. It's actual living tissue.
It's gross.
It's living skin tissue.
And robots don't need that.
And they use the actuators under the skin to simulate muscle movement, which, like...
I don't need it.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
There's no use for that in our world, in my opinion.
Oh, and they've already discovered, like, hey, yeah, we're aware it looks slimy and doesn't look quite real, but it's like, it's number one, it's living, which is terrifying. But number two, they said they need the necessity for surface wrinkles and a thicker epidermis to achieve a more human-like appearance.
I'm out. I'm out on that 100%. I'm out. In totality, we don't need that, and there's no need for it, and... That is how our robot overlords take us all over. So please no.
Yeah.
Please no. 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 I'm out.
The other robot adjacent thing here becoming more and more real as it pertains to humans, from Korea, Korean robot commits suicide after a year in public service.
Okay. Well, that robot, he probably saw the human skin on it, the other robot, and was like, nope, out. How did this happen?
It says the robot administrator killed itself by jumping down a flight of stairs last week, and local media is now mourning the loss of the country's first suicidal robot.
Wait, whoa. hand up so many questions. Mm. What was this robot doing? Like, Korea uses a lot of robots for a lot of things, for like
one of
traffic
the
police, for janitorial janitorial services. They use robots for a lot of things. What was this robot's main use?
It appears to be cleaning, I believe. So yeah. The robot was created by Bear Robotics, had its own civil servant card, and worked standard hours from 9 to 6. Unlike other similar robots, this one served several floors at once and could call an elevator to get to them on its own.
Hmm. But it just took the leap off the stairs, huh?
Says the Gumi City Council currently has no plans to hire a second robot administrator.
Okay, this seems like this seems like the engineer on this was like, so I screwed this up. I didn't geofence properly to that stairwell, and it didn't have any way to stop. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that it became self-aware and didn't want to work anymore, so it took a tumble down the stairs.
That's more believable.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the engineer's like, I'm not taking the heat for this.
You update the software after it's dead? No, see, look, the geofencing was totally right.
Goodness gracious.
It didn't violate the three laws.
Yeah, so this segment has me far more worried than what we talked about with people in 1979 taking their kids to Alien.
Yeah.
Like, watching scary movies is not nearly as terrifying as the real life science that's happening
right
now.
Suicidal face-wearing robots.
Because all things don't need to be
based on, you know, science.
They don't.
It's actually funny to come full circle. This robot fell down the stairs like you did.
I did, yeah. Yeah, it's the most human thing he could have done.
See?
You know?
They are becoming aware.
See, I didn't die. I didn't die.
They need to build that in.
Yeah.
But also, you could have.
I could have. It was a terrifying...
Could have hit your head.
It was a terrifying tumble down the stairs.
You sure you didn't slip on some of that living robot skin?
Jeff, I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
Couldn't be more surprised if I woke up with my head stapled to the carpet. What?
That reads like that's a hyper specific thing. That reads like the cop that got involved with Scotty Scheffler, the arrest record was like, yeah, you knew something's wrong here. If Dusty slipped on the robot skin, him slipping and falling would not be or his injuries would not be the first question I had. Yeah. Why is there robot skin?
Yeah.
Why is there replica human tissue in your house? That's like comes off my crime scene.
No, good Lord.
Not yours. Yeah,
Danny's out there wrong. Planting evidence. But hold on. That just opens up a whole other avenue in this putting live skin on robots. Because that tissue has to come from somewhere. It has somebody's DNA in it, right?
Now I mean, you're using robot killers.
I've watched enough CSI to know that it's got to have somebody's DNA.
DNA solves everything.
Now you're going to have people frame in folks for with murder robots. By sending
drones.
They're going to be sending robots with like their enemy's skin on it. And that's how they're going to find, you know, the evidence.
You just created a new market efficiency, stealing people's skin so you could create
this is crazy
fake skin.
I'm out.
Via their DNA.
I'm out.
Not to be that guy, but there really was like a CSI episode this last season, almost kind of around this.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Outside of like the living skin part, but yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Planting some AI robots. DNA.
Yeah.
No.
Can I just say real quick, I love how anything that we're talking about now that has like to do with like machine learning or anything along those lines is just AI. Everything is AI now.
Yeah, do you think that
nobody actually talks about like computing? It's AI. It's like, do you know what AI is? Because I don't think you do.
Yeah,
everybody just thinks
it's artificial intelligence. It's artificial intelligence.
Intelligence implies thought and process, as opposed to just processing power.
Yeah, yeah, I think I'm scared.
Yeah.
Dumb brain scared.
Look, man, we're gonna cross a line eventually where this stuff gets out of our hands.
Oh, you mean like human skin on robots?
I think we can still come back from that. It's all gross and weird, but like, we're gonna cross a line, and like something's gonna happen, and it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah. Gross. What is the point of doing this? Do we know the point of like the human skin on it? Like, do we know? Like,
yeah, to make them more real.
Okay, we don't need it.
Yeah, that's a...
We should have a clear line.
Yeah, I don't want them to look real. I want to know my robots are robots.
Yes.
That's how you get Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm 98% joking. 2% of me is like, I don't trust this. Look, man, if we're seeing this on the civilian sector, DARPA's already got stuff going.
Yeah, that's pretty... Universal Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to know my tinfoil hat? Here you go. It's this stuff.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, this is where my tinfoil hat gets going, because if you're seeing this, like, stuff that you see in the public sector, you're like, oh, God, we've gone too far as a society. You better believe DARPA's, like, 15 years more advanced.
It wasn't Universal Soldier. What was the movie? What was the movie where they created the robot soldier and he wanted to look like Michael Jordan? Come on. Solo.
Oh,
Solo.
God.
Oh, is that Solo? Oh, Mario Van Peebles?
Yeah.
Solo. I think that's what it was. I think it was Solo.
Somehow that one slipped past the keeper.
I do remember.
Yeah, he wanted to look like Michael Jordan, right?
Going full circle back to Valley Theater, I remember seeing the cutout of Mario Van Peebles for Universal Soldiers. God. Yeah, remember, that's how we found out about new movies that were coming out.
Yeah, Solo.
Was cutouts and posters at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Because for those that are younger than us, the internet didn't exist yet.
Well, or you'd see the trailers on TV, and every single movie trailer in the late 80s and early 90s started with, in a world where...
In a world. And that guy looked nothing like you thought he did.
In a world guy must have made a fortune, too.
I think his name was like Vic LaFontaine or something.
I actually think that is him.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like the guy who played Mario in the original Super Mario movies.
Bob Hoskins?
Yep, that's it. Solo is a robotic soldier made by the U.S. military. After being deployed into Latin American Civil War, he gains sentience and starts to sympathize with the native civilians. Joining them, Solo assists in fighting off the American intervention. Huh? Yeah. Soon, his creators created an upgraded soldier, and Solo must battle him to maintain his humanity and protect his friends. Didn't any of these scientists watch Solo?
Part man, part machine, total weapon.
Yeah.
That was the tagline on that movie.
Hell yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes score of, and I kid you not, 8%.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, well, good maybe that's why.
Lord.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
It seems like every week we're getting a step closer to Terminator being a real thing. Getting terrifying.
Cool.
By way of NPR, an article from the technology section, the headline reads, "A robot gets a face of living skin that allows it to smile."
Okay, I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
My skin doesn't look like that. This looks like...
If I say what it looks like, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, so don't. this is a... This is nightmare fuel. This is worse than me watching Silence of the Lambs when I was 8 years old. I don't know why they're like, look, this is human skin on a robot and it's smiling. That does not look like what it looks. What was that stuff? Remember Gak?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
like between
that?
Gak and Silly Putty?
Yeah. It's like purple slime mm-hmm. that they put like googly eyes on. And then they're like, look, it's smiling and it has like this robotic mechanism that is forcing us not even a smile because it's no whole. It's nightmare fuel is what it is.
It is. And it's the beginning of throwing the skin on the Terminator.
It looks like Kirby. It looks like Kirby. Yeah. It's like if Kirby, the little cartoon, was going to be smiling at you. But
it does.
Gooey and shiny. And we don't need this in our life. Science, don't. Don't.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
Again, I brought this up the last time we talked about robots. We often don't stop to think about whether or not we should. We just, it's whether or not we could.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need to know. Can we put skin on this? Like,
based on, science.
Yeah, that.
Based on, science. I don't need that.
No, it's terrifying.
It's now, computers.
Now, is this what they're going to try to do with AI Al Michaels on the Olympic coverage?
Oh, God, just nightmare fuel.
On a robot?
You know what? We're coming full circle. Remember the animatronic things that we had, the Chuck E. Cheese band?
See, but look, if you go to Disneyland and you go through, like, Pirates of the Caribbean or you go to the Hall of Presidents or whatever.
What if it's a small world singing this, but it's, like, terrifyingly smiling at
those
you with
thick
skin?
Those look far more real than whatever they did there. Because we don't need human skin. I've read an article today that, I don't know, I'm forgetting on who the book was by. But Harvard had a book in their library that they've removed. That had a binding of human skin,
mm-hmm.
and they removed the human skin from it. It's like, yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's not just that like this like it looks like Gak. It's actual living tissue.
It's gross.
It's living skin tissue. And
robots don't need that.
And they use the actuators under the skin to simulate muscle movement, which like
I don't need it.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
There's no use for that in our world, in my opinion.
Oh, and they've already discovered, like, hey, yeah, we're aware it looks slimy and doesn't look quite real, but it's like, it's number one, it's living, which is terrifying. But number two, they said they need the necessity for surface wrinkles and a thicker epidermis to achieve a more human-like appearance.
I'm out. I'm out on that 100%. I'm out. In totality, we don't need that, and there's no need for it, and... That is how our robot overlords take us all over. So please no.
Yeah.
Please no. 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 I'm out.
The other robot adjacent thing here becoming more and more real as it pertains to humans from Korea. Korean robot commits suicide after a year in public service.
Okay. Well, that robot, he probably saw the human skin on the other robot and was like, nope, out. How did this happen?
It says the robot administrator killed itself by jumping down a flight of stairs last week, and local media is now mourning the loss of the country's first suicidal robot.
Wait, whoa. Hand up, so many questions. Mm. What was this robot doing? Like, Korea uses a lot of robots for a lot of things, for like
one of
traffic
the
police, for janitorial services. They use robots for a lot of things. What was this robot's main use?
It appears to be cleaning, I believe. So yeah. The robot was created by Bear Robotics, had its own civil servant card, and worked standard hours from 9 to 6. Unlike other similar robots, this one served several floors at once and could call an elevator to get to them on its own.
Hmm. But it just took the leap off the stairs, huh?
Says the Gumi City Council currently has no plans to hire a second robot administrator.
Okay, this seems like this seems like the engineer on this was like, so I screwed this up. I didn't geofence properly to that stairwell, and it didn't have any way to stop. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that it became self-aware and didn't want to work anymore, so it took a tumble down the stairs.
That's more believable.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the engineer's like, I'm not taking the heat for this.
You update the software after it's dead? No, see, look, the geofencing was totally right.
Goodness gracious.
It didn't violate the three laws.
Yeah, so this segment has me far more worried than what we talked about with people in 1979 taking their kids to Alien.
Yeah.
Like, watching scary movies is not nearly as terrifying as the real life science that's happening
right
now.
Suicidal face-wearing robots.
Because all things don't need to be...
based on, you know, science.
They don't. They don't.
It's actually funny, to come full circle, this robot fell down the stairs like you did.
I did, yeah. Yeah, it's the most human thing he could have done.
See?
You know?
They are becoming aware.
See, I didn't die. I didn't die.
They need to build that in.
Yeah.
But also, you could have.
I could have.
You could have.
It was a terrifying...
could have hit your head.
It was a terrifying tumble down the stairs.
You sure you didn't slip on some of that living robot skin?
Jeff, I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
Couldn't be more surprised if I woke up with my head stapled to the carpet. What?
That reads like that's a hyper specific thing. That reads like the cop that got involved with Scotty Scheffler. The arrest record was like, yeah, you knew something's wrong here. If Dusty slipped on the robot skin, him slipping and falling would not be the or his injuries would not be the first question I had. Yeah. Why is there robot skin? Yeah. Why is there replica human tissue in your house? That's like comes off my crime scene.
No, good Lord.
Not yours. Yeah,
Danny's
not
out there wrong. Planting evidence. But hold on. That just opens up a whole other avenue in this putting live skin on robots. Because that tissue has to come from somewhere. It has somebody's DNA in it, right?
Now I mean, you're using robot killers.
I've watched enough CSI to know that this, it's got to have somebody's DNA.
DNA! Solves everything.
Now you're going to have people framing folks for with murder robots. By sending
drones.
They're going to be sending robots with like their enemy's skin on it. And that's how they're going to find, you know, the evidence there.
You just created a new market efficiency, stealing people's skin so you could create
this is crazy.
Fake skin.
I'm out.
Via their DNA.
I'm out.
Not to be that guy, but there really was like a CSI episode this last season, almost kind of around this.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Outside of like the living skin part, but yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Planting some AI robots. DNA.
Yeah.
No.
Can I just say real quick, I love how anything that we're talking about now that has like to do with like machine learning or anything along those lines is just AI. Everything is AI now.
Yeah, do you think that
nobody actually talks about like computing? It's just it's AI. It's like, do you know what AI is? Because I don't think you do.
Yeah,
everybody just thinks it's artificial intelligence.
It's artificial intelligence. Yeah,
intelligence implies thought and process, as opposed to just processing power.
Yeah, yeah, I think I'm scared.
Yeah.
Dumb brain scared.
Look, man, we're gonna cross a line eventually where this stuff gets out of our hands.
Oh, you mean like human skin on robots?
I think we can still come back from that. It's all gross and weird, but like, we're gonna cross a line, and like something's gonna happen, and it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah. Gross. What is the point of doing this? Do we know the point of like the human skin on it? Like, do we know? Like,
yes, to make them more real.
Okay, we don't need it.
Yeah, that's a...
we should have a clear line.
Yeah, I don't want them to look real. I want to know my robots are robots.
Yes.
That's how you get Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm 98% joking. 2% of me's like, I don't trust this. Look, man, if we're seeing this on the civilian sector, DARPA's already got stuff going.
Yeah, that's pretty... Universal Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to know my tinfoil hat? Here you go. It's this stuff.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, this is where my tinfoil hat gets going, because if you're seeing this, like, stuff that you see in the public sector, you're like, oh, God, we've gone too far as a society. You better believe DARPA's, like, 15 years more advanced.
Wait, it wasn't Universal Soldier. What was the movie? What was the movie where they created the robot soldier and he wanted to look like Michael Jordan? Come on. Solo.
Oh,
Solo.
God.
Oh, is that
Solo?
Oh, Mario Van Peebles?
Yeah.
Solo. I think that's what it was. I think it was Solo.
Somehow that one slipped past the keeper.
I do remember. Going, yeah, no.
Yeah, he wanted to look like Michael Jordan, right?
Going full circle back to Valley Theater, I remember seeing the cutout of Mario Van Peebles for Universal Soldiers. Good yeah. God. And remember, that's how we found out about new movies that were coming out.
Yeah, so
was cutouts and posters at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Because for those that are younger than us, the internet didn't exist yet.
Well, that or you'd see the you know, the trailers on TV, and every single movie trailer in the late 80s and early 90s started with "In a world where
And that guy looked nothing like you thought he did.
In a world guy must have made a fortune, too.
I think his name was like Vic LaFontaine or something.
I actually think that is him.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like the guy who played Mario in the original Super Mario movies.
Bob Hoskins?
Yep, that's it. Solo is a robotic soldier made by the U.S. military. After being deployed into Latin American Civil War, he gains sentience and starts to sympathize with the native civilians. Joining them, Solo assists in fighting off the American intervention. Huh? Yeah. Soon, his creators created an upgraded soldier, and Solo must battle him to maintain his humanity and protect his friends. Didn't any of these scientists watch Solo?
Part man, part machine, total weapon.
Yeah.
That was the tagline on that movie.
Hell yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes score of, and I kid you not, 8%.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, well, good maybe that's why.
Lord.
Well, come on, three words. Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah.
That guy was like the B-movie captain of the 80s and 90s.
Is Van Peebles one word or two words?
Two.
Is it?
Yes.
Technically? Is Van Peebles one word?
It's two words.
It's two.
Box office, it did $5 million with a $19 million budget.
So I have
Lord.
In fact, my wife and I, when we were dating, we went to a all-inclusive resort down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I won a dance competition. And I got a Corona bottle opener that attaches to a wall. And a Spanish version of the movie Solo.
Yes.
I wonder what that translates into in Spanish.
Good God. Solo?
Yes. That's a joke.
Yeah. That was my prize. And we finally threw it away last summer.
I would have held on to that.
My wife was like, why do we have this? I'm like, because I won it?
Because I won. Yeah.
I don't know. What have you won?
It's an award. It's a distinguished award.
Yeah. We got a medal from you running a marathon. I won a dance contest.
That was your leg lamp. That leg lamp in the living room.
That was your leg lamp, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And they gave me like a certificate, too. And it said Jason.
Love it.
Oh, man.
I was like, thanks.
Those are the best awards ever. those are the ones that you actually keep because you're like, so this is one time I was at a resort in Mexico and I won a dance contest. And they're like, you tell it to somebody, you go, you're full of crap. And then you go, no, see?
No, trust me. Jason is me. Yeah. I promise you.
Here's my Spanish Solo movie.
Fragile must be Italian.
God, that's great.
I won that dance contest, though. So.
Wow, you almost said something else there. It would have been something else for Mexico.
Whoa. No, I did not almost say that.
Yikes. We'll go to the tape. I think you got pretty close.
Yeah, we'll go to the tape.
Yeah.
I'll have that ready for the next segment.
All right, coming up next, the USA. Still not good at soccer. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. I'm not exactly sure where to start with the clown show from last night as the U.S. took on Uruguay in the Copa America, not necessarily playoff rounds, the leading into the quarterfinals, to get out of the group stage. And it started with the broadcast. Did you see what happened to start the game?
Yo, buddy. I saw watching from a blimp. It was very reminiscent of Pac-12 After Dark.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like it was ridiculously poor video quality. It looked from like it was 3 miles away.
It was literally at the top of Arrowhead. The cameras were at the highest point of Arrowhead.
And I tweeted out like, oh, I've seen this before. This is what they will say is there's not enough trucks and not enough cameras available. It's like you're in Arrowhead Stadium. We know they got good cameras there. Seen it. I mean, they have an NFL game there almost every week during the season. But it was absolutely just atrocious quality. The broadcasters were complaining about it. They were complaining about the fact they couldn't get replays up. Like, it was awful.
It was the world feed. That was the problem. It wasn't the broadcast. It was Fox had the rights to it. It was the world feed that was being carried for the broadcast. That
brutal, dude.
Gets because the groups, whether it's FIFA for the World Cup or Copa, CONCACAF, whoever, they're actually, they own the broadcasting. You just get to lease whatever they allow you to set up for, which is why they started with that before they eventually got back to getting their own feed, which was below where John Strong and Stu Holden were broadcasting from at Arrowhead. So that was the start of it. Then you had the referee who,
again, Pac-12 After Dark.
My God. And this is insanity. For those that aren't really familiar with soccer, typically if you're going to give a, not typically, if you're going to give a yellow card, you stop play and the ball does not move while you assess the yellow card. You write it down. Instead, he played advantage, which he puts both his hands forward with a yellow card in his hand while Uruguay puts the ball down and puts it back in play while he's still doing the yellow card. And instead of blowing his whistle and telling everybody, knock it off, I'm in charge, he let play go. Uruguay almost gets a goal out of it. It was unhinged. Tyler Adams, the midfielder for the U.S., got stepped on egregiously and got a yellow card for it. I mean, it was so bad that Christian Pulisic, at the end of the game, went to go shake the referee's hands, as you do, even irritated. The referee refused to shake Christian's hand.
Huh.
And this is all comes across as the U.S. loses 1-0 in a game where they looked terrible again. And at one point in time, Bolivia had gone up on Panama 1-0, which would have propelled U.S. on goal difference to the next stage. Their manager, Greg Berhalter, put up a, hey, we're good, to his players right after it happened. The U.S. conceded a goal 40 seconds later.
Yikes.
This was supposed to be, quote unquote, a golden generation for Team USA in soccer. It's not. It's better than it's ever been. But when the bar is the floor, it's not that, like, a lot of Team USA now plays internationally. And not just in the MLS. You've got guys in the Dutch Eredivisie. You've got guys in the Premier League. You've got guys in Serie A. You've got guys in Bundesliga. But no, they're still running into the same issues over and over and over again.
I saw a stat run across the bottom line or something on the old ESPN this morning. It said something on the lines of their fifth loss in a string of 9 matches. International matches for the first time since 2018. And I was like, is that supposed to be good or bad?
Wow, that's in not less that long. Than a decade. And these cycles come up every 2 years. So it's not like it's this thing where it's like, oh, you know, it was back in, 2008 where, like, it's a whole, is the same generation of players.
Exactly.
Don't remember Christian Pulisic when he was coming up, like, he's the savior. He's going to one who's going to take the baton from Landon and from Deuce. And it's like, he's good. He is.
Yeah.
And they're getting better, but the rest of the world is getting better too. And that's the world that everything is in right now. They're 2 years away from the World Cup cycle, and they're nowhere closer to being, even though they're better, they have not closed the gap on the rest of the world.
And look, in the United States, soccer is an elitist sport.
Yep.
It is. I mean,
the $600 travel clubs for the Redondo Beach kids. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
which is insane because it has the lowest barrier to entry of any sport.
It's the same thing as baseball on the global stage as well. I mean, and look at basketball is trending in that direction as well, because the European countries are catching up and the African countries are catching up to the NBA in the player development standards because AAU basketball is wildly expensive. Travel baseball weeds out so many kids across the country that now you're seeing that the island nations in Venezuela are all pumping out talent. Japan is pumping out talent left and right because it doesn't cost as much to play over there. It doesn't cost as much to play soccer in any other country than it does here.
Yeah.
And if you look at the way that, you know, football is like the number one sport in America in popularity, but it weeds people out based on size and speed, yeah, right?
Very quickly.
In soccer, it is anybody can play for as long as you want across the country or across the world, except for here. And it is a massive roadblock in the growth of American soccer. It is stunting the growth of American basketball players. It's stunting the growth of American baseball players as well. And the 7-on-7 world is going to do the same damn thing in football too.
Yes, and it's the commodification of everything.
It's just the rest of the world doesn't play American football yet.
No, I mean, they lost that though.
Yeah, the U-20, which is a crock,
anyways. But still.
But yeah, they lost to Japan and Austria. Yeah,
not something you should be doing.
Yeah,
but I mean, this is the thing. I'm not saying the U.S. is just, you know, the worst. It's not Tunisia out there, okay? They're getting better. But until we as a nation actually give a damn like we do with basketball and, to an extent, baseball, because football obviously is an international thing, it's just not going to matter. It's just not going to matter, and you're going to keep getting these. Like, England, it is what they do, and even they fall short. Now, they're not pulling from the population. I mean, their population is what, the size of Pennsylvania?
I have no idea. Is that it?
I think that's about right, if I remember right.
Oh, damn.
It's not a lot of people. I mean, it is, but it's not, but comparatively. It's, people don't realize how small UK, or England, not UK, sorry, not in soccer, England is in comparison.
The population of England's 55.98 million.
So maybe it was New York. It was a northeast state. Right. The entire population was... Maybe it's California.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm wrong. I thought I was watching things again. Social media brain rot. They did a comparison of like scale, both size of states and populations.
So, oh, I saw that. That was just sheer size.
No, they had a population one though too.
Oh, really?
Where they did a side by side with that.
California's 39 million.
So maybe that's what it was. It was a side by side with that. But again, a state the size of a nation. Right. That takes it significantly more serious.
Way more.
So, there you go. There's your hot soccer talk. We probably won't talk about that again until the World Cup. All right, coming up next, how exactly did the Lakers bungle Klay Thompson? Someone they should have had in the bag here at hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
I won that dance contest, though.
So. I'm not exactly sure where to start with the clown show from last night as the U.S. took on Uruguay in the Copa America not necessarily playoff rounds, the leading into the quarterfinals, to get out of the group stage. And it started with the broadcast. Did you see what happened to start the game?
Yo, buddy. I saw watching from a blimp. Lot. It was very reminiscent of Pac-12 After Dark.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like it was ridiculously poor video quality. It looked from like it was 3 miles away.
It was literally at the top of Arrowhead. The cameras were at the highest point of Arrowhead.
And I tweeted out like, oh, I've seen this before. This is what they will say is there's not enough trucks and not enough cameras available. It's like you're in Arrowhead Stadium. We know they got good cameras there. I've seen it. I mean, they have an NFL game there almost every week during the season. But it was absolutely... just atrocious quality. The broadcasters were complaining about it. They were complaining about the fact they couldn't get replays up. Like it was awful.
It was the world feed. That was the problem. It wasn't the broadcast. It was Fox had the rights to it. It was the world feed that was being carried for the broadcast. That
brutal, dude.
Gets because the groups, whether it's FIFA for the World Cup or CONCACAF. CONCACAF, whoever, they own the broadcasting. You just get to lease whatever they allow you to set up for, which is why they started with that before they eventually got back to getting their own feed, which was below where John Strong and Stu Holden were broadcasting from at Arrowhead. So that was the start of it. Then you had the referee. Who
again? Pac-12 After Dark.
My God, and this is insanity. For those that aren't really familiar with soccer, typically if you're going to give a yellow card, you stop play and the ball does not move while you assess the yellow card. You write it down. Instead, he plate advantage, which he puts both his hands forward with a yellow card in his hand while Uruguay puts the ball down and puts it back in play while he's still doing the yellow card. And instead of blowing his whistle and telling everybody, knock it off, I'm in charge, he let play go. Uruguay almost gets a goal out of it. It was unhinged. Tyler Adams, the midfielder for the U.S., got stepped on egregiously and got a yellow card for it. I mean, it was so bad that Christian Pulisic, at the end of the game, went to go shake the referee's hands, as you do, even irritated. The referee refused to shake Christian's hand.
Huh.
And this is all comes across as the U.S. loses 1-0 in a game where they looked terrible again. And at one point in time, Bolivia had gone up on Panama 1-0, which would have propelled U.S. on goal difference to the next stage. Their manager, Greg Berhalter, put up a, hey, we're good, to his players right after it happened. The U.S. conceded a goal 40 seconds later.
Yikes.
This was supposed to be, quote-unquote, a golden generation for Team USA in soccer. It's not. It's better than it's ever been, but when the bar is the floor, it's not that, like, a lot of Team USA now plays internationally, and not just in the MLS. You've got guys in the Dutch Eredivisie. You've got guys in the Premier League. You've got guys in Serie A. You've got guys in Bundesliga. But no, they're still running into the same issues over and over and over again.
I saw a stat run across the bottom line or something on the old ESPN this morning. It said something on the lines of their fifth loss in a string of 9 matches, international matches, for the first time since 2018. And I was like, is that supposed to be good or bad?
Wow, that's in less than a decade. And these cycles come up every 2 years. So it's not like it's this thing where it's like, oh, you know, it was back in, you know, 2008 where, like, it's a whole is the same generation of players.
Exactly.
Don't remember Christian Pulisic when he was coming up? Like, he's the savior. He's the one who's going to take the baton from Landon and from Deuce. And it's like, he's good. He is.
Yeah.
And they're getting better, but the rest of the world is getting better too. And that's the world that everything is in right now. They're 2 years away from the World Cup cycle. And they're nowhere closer to being, even though they're better, they have not closed the gap on the rest of the world.
And look, in the United States, soccer is an elitist sport.
Yep.
It is. I mean,
the $600 travel clubs for the Redondo Beach kids. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
which is insane because it has the lowest barrier to entry of any sport.
It's the same thing as baseball on the global stage as well. I mean, and look at basketball is trending in that direction as well, because the European countries are catching up and the African countries are catching up to the NBA and the player development standards, because AAU basketball is wildly expensive. Travel baseball weeds out so many kids across the country that you're seeing that the island nations in Venezuela are all pumping out talent. Japan is pumping out talent left and right because it doesn't cost as much to play over there. It doesn't cost as much to play soccer in any other country than it does here.
Yeah.
And if you look at the way that, you know, football is like the number one sport in America in popularity, but it weeds people out based on size and speed, right?
Very quickly.
In soccer, it is anybody can play for as long as you want across the country or across the world, except for here. And it is a massive roadblock in the growth of American soccer. It is stunting the growth of American basketball players. It's stunting the growth of American baseball players as well. And the 7-on-7 world is going to do the same damn thing in football too.
Yes, and it's the commodification of everything.
It's just the rest of the world doesn't play American football yet.
No. I mean, they lost that though.
Yeah, the U-20, which is a crock.
Anyways. But still.
But yeah, they lost to Japan and Austria. Yeah,
not something you should be doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is the thing. I'm not saying the U.S. is just, you know, the worst. It's not Tunisia out there, okay? They're getting better. But until we as a nation actually give a damn like we do with basketball and to an extent baseball, because football obviously is an international thing. It's just not going to matter. It's just not going to matter. And you're going to keep getting these, like England, it is what they do. And even they fall short. Now, they're not pulling from the population. I mean, their population is what, the size of Pennsylvania?
I have no idea. Is that it?
I think that's about right, if I remember right.
Oh, damn.
It's not a lot of people. I mean, it is, but it's not, but comparatively. It's, people don't realize how small UK, or England, not UK, sorry, not in soccer, England is in comparison.
The population of England's 55.98 million.
So maybe it was New York. It was a northeast state. Right. The entire population was... Maybe it's California.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought I was watching things again. Social media brain rot. They did a comparison of like scale, both size of states and populations.
So, oh, I saw that. That was just sheer size.
No, they had a population one though too.
Oh, really?
Where they did a side by side with that.
California's 39 million.
So maybe that's what it was. It was a side by side with that. But again, a state the size of a nation. Right. That takes it significantly more serious.
Way more.
So, there you go. There's your hot soccer talk. We probably won't talk about that again until the World Cup. All right, coming up next, how exactly did the Lakers bungle Klay Thompson? Someone they should have had in the bag here at hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
I won that dance contest, though.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.